أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters this is your brother Dili Hussein from Five Pillars I decided to make a short video response in light of this weekend's debate between Sheikh Asrar Rashid and Ustad Abdul Rahman Hassan on the permissibility of tawassul istighatha on the Prophet upon whom be peace. So there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of debate, a lot of arguments on social media about what actually happened and who won, and even some questions pertaining to why I decided to chair it. So what I will do in this short video is just go over some of these points as well as clarify some issues or misconceptions that some have regarding what actually happened on Saturday evening. With regards to who actually won the debate, this is a question that I had fired at me, and I've been inundated with messages and emails about who won the debate. I cannot comment on this matter because the whole role and responsibility of an impartial chair is that he doesn't take any sides. And I stated myself at the beginning of the debate when opening the event is that I wouldn't make any specific comment, any personal comment about each party's performance. So I will not say who won the debate, because this is something that the general public and the Ummah should be able to see the debate from start till end and make that sound decision upon themselves. There's also been a question which has been raised to me regarding why did I decide to chair this debate when I was quite critical of both parties during the Mawlid debate when I wrote an article for Huffington Post. Well, there's two differences between what happened there and the debate which I chaired. The Mawlid fiasco was something that was brewing online. It didn't actually transpire into an actual debate. And I tried just giving some of my honest thoughts and opinions in writing, advice to both parties as brothers to just nip this in the bud and worry and focus on more important things. Secondly, regarding the Mawlid debate, the Huffington Post was already going to write an article about it. So to safeguard any negative coverage of that fiasco, I took it upon myself to write something just in case the HuffPost journalist wrote something which was distasteful in terms of representing the two groups. However, regarding why I decided to chair this specific debate, well, the organizers contacted me and they wanted me to moderate this debate. And the condition was that both parties would consider me to be someone neutral, just and fair. Now the way I saw it was that two groups of Muslims who were disputing with each other on a specific matter had turned to me to moderate this debate. And I felt that this was a duty upon me to moderate the debate to ensure that rules, ethicals and principles were abided by and there were no transgressions from either side, with the ultimate hope that the debate would conclude with brotherhood, love and compassion. I noticed that after the debate, something happened, and that was that edited clips and sound bites were being published on social media. When I opened the debate, I made it very clear that I discouraged any of the parties to upload edited clips and sound bites. This was not a clause of the contract itself, the contract which was agreed between Sheikh Abdul Rahman Hassan and Sheikh Asrar Rashid, which I have in front of me here. Nowhere in the 29 points does it say that no one was allowed to or disallowed to upload edited clips or soundbites. This was a point I raised. It was something I raised that I discourage. So to clarify that uploading edited clips and soundbites didn't actually break any rules in the contract, it was rather it was something that I discouraged, and the fruits of that you can see now on social media, with each party claiming victory and accusing each other of all sorts. Then I also noticed that one of the parties decided not to include my introductory speech because they felt that it contradicted the overwhelming objective of the debate itself. Furthermore, they also told me that some of the things that I had said in my introductory speech they disagreed with it quite heavily. So what I will say to you now is what I initially included within the speech itself. What I said was that here we had on Saturday evening two very capable individuals, men of knowledge, students of knowledge on a scholastic level. And I personally felt that their skills, their ability, their knowledge would be better utilized in areas which are affecting the Muslim community the most. That was what I said. I also added that I personally felt that the six articles of our creed, the belief in Allah, the belief in the angels, the scriptures, all the prophets, that all good and bad comes from Allah and the final day, was enough. It was sufficient for Muslims to unify. Whilst the branches of our creed, there will always be differences that exist, just like they've existed for centuries and just like they're going to exist for centuries to come. But regarding the issue of debating or munadhara, yeah, the issue of debate is not a major thing. You know, classically, many great scholars did debate each other. However, in the modern day, in the age of social media, new digital era, what it's become a very kind of capitalistic, very aggressive kind of to and fro between Muslims. And this is not how classically debates were ever had. Debates were carried out between men of knowledge to establish the truth, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do what is most pleasing to Him. And if one of the sides had acknowledged a mistake or a flaw or a discrepancy or a contradiction in their arguments, in many cases they would just accept it and improve and adopt the correct position. But what we find now in this day and era is that we have adopted a very Western secular model of debating, where it's not necessarily about the substance of the argument or an attempt to really establish the truth. Rather, it's to debate one another and to make each other look small, to belittle one another, and to actually not accept the truth sometimes, or even accept a difference, a legitimate difference, when it's been conveyed to you. Now, all in all, the debate which I chaired on Saturday, it was overwhelmingly friendly. It was very brotherly, civilized. I was there for the most part, for the entirety of it. It was about 5.5 hours and there was no issues. The issues arose towards the end of the debate, when one side made takbir. Now, it does state in the contract, in point, just bear with me. It does state in the contract that there will be no heckling, there will be no takbir, there would be no chanting during the debate. Now, the party which said takbir, they clearly understood the debate to have concluded, because they made the takbir after Sheikh Abdul Rahman Hassan gave his last speech. And in theory, that was the end of the debate, but it wasn't the end of the event. So there clearly was a misunderstanding from how I perceived it. That's what was the case. But it did stipulate in the contract that no heckling, no chanting, no cheering, no takbirs, no nare takbirs, any of that would be said during the debate. Clearly one side had thought that the debate had concluded, whilst the other side had thought that the debate was still ongoing. Secondly, what I also found was that uploading edited images, I mean edited video clips and selective sound bites, it really does no justice. Because we have a principle in Islam, which is basically that we judge from what is apparent. We judge from one's speech and actions. Now, how do you expect Muslims and non-Muslims to establish the truth when they cannot see one's actions and speech in its entirety? How do you expect the truth to prevail if you decide to upload clips, 5-minute clips, 10-minute clips, half an hour clips from a 5-hour debate? It makes absolutely no sense, and it actually shows an element of insincerity. And if you're not insincere in doing so, then uploading these edited clips is what it seems like. So I will strongly advise brothers again who are watching this video from both parties to refrain from uploading edited sound bites, edited clips to somehow convey that your side had the upper hand. At the end of the day, when it comes to this religion, It should never ever be about getting one over the other side. It should never ever be about belittling your brother. It should be and solely be for establishing the truth. How do you expect people to establish the truth? Forget established, how do you expect people to understand the truth? If you're, what you're going to do is you're going to upload edited sound bites and clips. Now, I'm going to conclude basically just touching upon another topic which people have been discussing. And that is, well, is this topic relevant? Is it really important in this day and age where the Muslim community here and abroad are facing numerous issues? Well, I will simply say this. If one camp understood this issue to be the difference between belief and disbelief, and the other camp perceived this matter to be them regarded as Muslims or non-Muslims, then of course to both parties they considered this to be an important issue. In fact, both parties perceive this issue to be one fundamentally got to do with the oneness of God, the monotheism of Islam, and that worship alone should be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, I did include in my opening speech that these creedal differences, which have been debated for centuries and will most probably be debated for centuries to come, will forever exist. So in that context, perhaps it was wiser to just agree to disagree on these matters and perhaps focus on issues which are troubling our community here and abroad. And when I say troubling our community, what am I talking about? We have the current UK government, which is pushing policy after policy, criminalizing Islam and Muslims. We have the lackeys of this government who are adamant in secularizing this faith, in actually trying to reform this religion according to secular liberalism. We're having our religious institutions being targeted. We're having Muslim charities being targeted by the Charity Commission. We have the fundamentals of this very religion being questioned about its future in this country. And abroad, well, I don't need to tell you what's happening abroad. Abroad, we are an occupied nation. We are occupied, we're oppressed, our resources are looted. We are ruled over by tyrants from east to west. We're disunited. Now, these are more pressing issues. In my humble opinion, these are more pressing issues. But if these two camps sincerely believed that this specific topic of calling to the Prophet upon whom be peace for assistance is so important that it goes to the heart of the creed, our religion, which is the worship of God, then I am not one to question that. I do understand from a perspective that yes, if there are Muslims who think that it is okay to call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala independently to deliver benefit, then of course this is a very big problem. So I do understand that there is an importance of this topic, hence why I did share it. If I thought it was absolutely fruitless and that it would be counterproductive and that it would cause more harm than good, then I wouldn't have chaired it. But I did chair it. But it's unfortunate how after the debate, we've now seen Muslims from both sides arguing each other, calling each other all sorts. Ahlul Bidah, Mushriks, grave worshippers, Najdis, Wahhabis, ISIS apologists, Khawarij. These are labels which are highly problematic, highly divisive, and they're not conducive to brotherhood. You know, I would even understand if this debate was between a Muslim or an atheist, or a Muslim or a secularist, or a Muslim and a liberal, or a Muslim and a far-right racist, I would understand. I could then understand that there was some heat and some aggression between the two sides. But even then, I would expect Islamic etiquette to be in place, even when you're debating with non-Muslims. So brothers and sisters, to conclude, I really, really hope that both sides, when they're seeing this video, that they take my advice seriously. My brothers in Islam, we should not waste our time with such labels, with such derogatory targeting of each other, actually questioning the fundamentals of one's faith. Some of these discussions that I've seen on Facebook are literally questioning whether one's even Muslim or not. This is very dangerous, brothers. And I am saying to you that the overwhelming majority of the debate was carried out in a civilized manner. It was carried out as brothers. It was carried out in a good, polite fashion. I was there. I witnessed everything. Only towards the end, there were some hiccups. So why don't you allow if you strongly believe that this specific topic is so important to the Muslims, why don't you just allow the Muslims to see the full unedited debate, which is around 4 to 5 hours, and let them make their decision? And yes, there was a Q&A. There was a Q&A which was about 15 minutes. And one side initially decided not to include it, but then they included it. And yes, there was an aspect of my introduction which was taken out, but I had agreed and discussed with one of the parties behind why they decided not to include that. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, you know, the Muslim Ummah are facing numerous issues. We are facing issues politically, theologically, ideologically, militarily, here and abroad. And I ask all the Muslims to put these differences aside and to unite upon La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, this testimony of our faith is enough for us to unite upon. Our Prophet, upon whom be peace, is one. The Kitab of Allah is one. The Sunnah of his beloved Prophet is one. And this is more than sufficient to unite upon. So, brothers and sisters, this is it. I can go around in circles. I can sit here and lecture and preach all day long about unity. But I don't question that differences don't exist. Yes, differences do exist. But these differences have existed for centuries. They've existed for centuries. And if the Muslims, the great Muslims of our predecessors of the past, had put aside some of these differences for a greater cause, then why can't we? So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. I do apologize if this video went on for longer than I planned. May Allah bless you all in this life and the next. Jazakumullah khair for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.